worship team just reminded us that there is no one like the Lord. Amen. And for the next 9 weeks, we're going to study the moral character of God. What is it about God that makes him absolutely unique? Why is it true that there is no one like the Lord? And this morning we're going to begin with the moral quality of God is truth and trustworthiness. And so you pray in your heart, and I'll pray out loud, and let's ask God to reveal himself to us. Shall we do that? Our dear Heavenly Father, I believe there is no one like you. I believe that you alone are God. So, Father, I would like to have clear thinking about why that is true. I would like to know you as you really are. And so I pray this morning for myself and for everyone who is listening that you would give us an understanding of how uniquely true and trustworthy you are. And I pray that when we see you clearly, we would love you purely. In Christ's name, amen. Moses wrote in the book of Deuteronomy, "Give ear, O heavens, and I will speak. Let the earth hear the words of my mouth. May my teaching drop as the rain, and my speech distill as the dew. Like gentle rain upon the tender grass, and like showers upon the herb. For I will declare the name of the Lord and ascribe greatness to our God, the rock. His work is perfect. All his ways are just. A God of faithfulness and without iniquity. Just and upright is he." The first three verses of this is a beautiful poem. And it's a poem about a spring morning. It's a poem about how a gentle rain or a good dew is the beginning of the spring growth period. And so Moses is writing a piece of poetry, and he's saying, in the very same way, in the spring, when you see water on your garden, you have a sense that something healthy is happening and this garden's going to be grow. Then Moses said, from that poetic image, thinking right about God is the very same for your soul. When you think right about your soul, when you think right about God in your soul, you nurture something healthy, beautiful, and eternal. So right thoughts about God are healthy. They lead us to be healthy. They produce spiritual growth. So let's pick the poetry apart a little bit. "Give ear, O heavens, and I will speak. Let the earth hear the words of my mouth." Do you know that the word theology means speaking about God? Theos, God, logoi, words, speaking about God. And so in a poetic way, Moses says, I'm going to share with you my theology. I'm going to talk to you about God. The character of God is proclaimed in heaven and on the earth. "Give ear, O heavens, and I will speak." Let the earth hear the words of my mouth. God is knowable. He is incomprehensible, but he's knowable. It is a wise thing to do to speak about God on earth. And it will be an eternal activity. You and I will be speaking about God through all eternity. You do understand that God is infinite, and for you will learn more about him millennium after millennium after millennium, because there is no end to who he is. If you learned about God for 50 million years, there would still be things to learn because he's infinite. So this talking about God is a healthy part of the Christian life. I know we have to teach life skills, and we have to teach what the Bible says about being a good Christian and all these other things. But ultimately, all these other things are secondary to God himself. If you live a good life and you don't know God, you've still failed as a soul. If you live a broken life and you come to know God better and better, you are succeeding as a soul. The world and everything is passing away. But those who know God, that knowledge stays with them forever. Proclaiming the character of God is like watering a field. It nurtures the soul. Proclaiming the name of the Lord is speaking about his character. I will proclaim the name of the Lord. I've shared this with you before. In the Bible, it's pre-psychological vocabulary. They didn't have the vocabulary of psychology that we have. And so name really means character. He's not saying, I'm going to say the name of the Lord. He's saying, I'm going to talk to you about the character of God. I'm going to proclaim to you what the nature and the character of God is like. And then he says, ascribe greatness to our God. This word greatness can also be translated majesty. Ascribe majesty to our God. Everything about God is majestic. God is not just true and trustworthy. He is majestically true. He is majestically trustworthy. I want to make sure that we keep stretching our brain to think bigger and better thoughts about God. I don't want us to reduce God to our present level and our present ability to think. I want to learn how to think better so I can understand God more clearly. So let's put these two things together. Let's put majesty and truth together. God is majestically true. There are some things that are true, but relatively insignificant. It's true that butterflies are beautiful, but it's relatively insignificant. Can we agree on that or no? It's true that candy is sweet, but that's relatively insignificant, right? There are a lot of things that are true and relatively insignificant. The direct opposite is true about God. He is not only true, he is significantly and majestically true. Everything true about God matters intensely. Do you understand? Everything trustworthy about God matters more than most other things. He is majestic. St. Augustine, who is one of my favorite theologians, he says, God is the supreme being, the supreme truth, the supreme good. He is pure being. He does not possess the truth. He is the truth. Listen to what Augustine is saying. We come to know the truth. The truth is something we learn. The truth is an idea we have in our head. It's not the same with God. God doesn't possess the truth. He doesn't know the truth. He is the truth. In his very essence, he is truth. And then Moses tells us seven qualities that are connected to the trustworthiness of God. Let's listen to him again. The rock. His work is perfect. All his ways are just. A God of faithfulness and without iniquity. Justice and, just and upright is he. When we read this, it's rare in the Bible for one of God's attributes to be mentioned alone. The attributes of God are rarely isolated. They almost always come to us in clusters. So as we go through this study, week after week, these attributes of God are all going to be clustered together. The authors of the Bible feel like if they only give one attribute of God, they're misrepresenting him. You can't talk about God in a single attribute. His greatness is so awesome that they have to be clustered together or you miss the point. And I find that interesting in Scripture. All right, let's look at each one of these seven. First of all, Moses said, God is as true and trustworthy as rock. Now, what does he mean by that? In the world that Moses lived in, fortresses were always built on rocky high places. It was the safest place you could be. They couldn't tear your fort down because it's built on a rock. And they'd have to climb up the rock to even get to your walls. And so, like Jerusalem is built on the top of a rocky mountain. So that's the image that Moses has in his head. So I'm sure at some time in your life, you've seen a picture of a fortress that's on a rocky place. Or if not, just try to remember the Parthenon in Athens. There's this giant rock coming up out of the ground, and on top of that, they built these beautiful buildings. That's what Moses has in mind. He said, I'm thinking about the trustworthiness of God, and I'm trying to illustrate it by something. And what comes to my mind is, God is like a fortress that's built on top of a rocky outcrop. It is safe and trustworthy. Our God is safe and trustworthy. He cannot be taken down. He cannot be overcome. He cannot be subdued. He is the Almighty God, and because he is totally true and trustworthy, he is as secure as a rocky high place. The second thing he says is, his work is perfect. Ironically, this word that's translated perfect can also be translated true. His work is true. I'm going to talk to you in a minute about the three meanings of truth, and this meaning of truth is authentic. God's work is never fake. It's always authentic. All religions have their hocus pocus. They have their religious tricks. Christianity doesn't need any religious tricks. Our God is authentic. He is absolutely true. He doesn't scam people. He doesn't do anything false. He doesn't need to. His absolute truth speaks for itself. All his ways are justice. God is so true, he's never been unfair to anyone. I've known people who thought God was unfair to them, but they just misunderstood God. God is true, and it makes him just in everything he does. He is a God of faithfulness. You can't separate the trustworthiness of God from the faithfulness of God. The two of them always go together. He is completely trustworthy because he's faithful. The two of them support each other. He is without iniquity. God is trustworthy because he never did anyone wrong. Would you hear this again? You've had some tragedies in your life, and maybe you've blamed them on God. I'm telling you, you've misunderstood. God is absolutely true, and it means he's never been unjust to anyone. No one has ever been mistreated by God because his truth, he's incapable of lying and being untrustworthy. And so he's absolutely faithful and good to every soul. And then we get the word just. He's right. And the word upright is, in a moral sense, he's holy. The trustworthiness of God in Moses' thinking on the day he wrote that was, he's like a fortress that can't be brought down. He's trustworthy. His work is true. It's authentic. There's nothing false. He's trustworthy. He's just. He always does the just thing. He's trustworthy. He's faithful. He always shows up and does what he says he'll do. He's trustworthy. He's never unjust. He's trustworthy. He does everything right. He's trustworthy. And on top of that, he's morally holy. He's absolutely trustworthy. The God we worship is true and trustworthy. This true and trustworthy God wasn't content for us to think of him in poetic images. This is how he introduced himself 3,400 years ago through Moses. But he wanted us to know him better than in a poetic way. And so he came to humanity in the person of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the God of the Old Testament living in a human body. Do you understand that? It's called the incarnation. Now listen what John, one of the followers of Jesus Christ, says about Jesus Christ. John chapter 1, verse 14. The Word became flesh and tented among us, and we saw his glory. Glory as the only begotten from the Father. Listen. Full of grace and truth. John said, I knew Jesus Christ for at least 4 years. I lived with him day after day. I was one of his closest friends. Let me tell you what was most noticeable about Jesus Christ. He was full of grace and truth. Our God is innately trustworthy. So when he becomes incarnate, that truth and trustworthiness is seen clearly in Jesus Christ. It's seen unmistakably in Jesus Christ. John begins chapter 1 by calling Jesus Christ the Logos. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He's the second person of the Trinity. The God, that Moses knew as the true and trustworthy God, the God who spoke to Moses on Mount Sinai, the God who did the miracles and delivered the children of Israel from Egypt, the God who led the children of Israel for 40 years in the wilderness, that very same God became incarnate in Jesus Christ. And in Jesus Christ, we are stunned by the truth and trustworthiness of God. It was visible. Listen to what John said. We saw, we looked at him. We looked at the life he lived. We looked at the things he did, the things he said. And every time we looked at him, we saw grace and truth. John said, I can't tell you a single incident in the life of Jesus Christ where he didn't act with grace and truth. The life of Christ was characterized by these divine qualities. But I want you to see it's more than grace and truth. He was full of grace and truth. It's one thing to be mostly true. It's one thing to be mostly true. You tell the truth 95% of the time. That's mostly true. But church, there's not one of us here today who can say, I've told the truth 100% of the time. No, we have not. Listen, and we get subtle about it. Sometimes we don't tell the truth by not saying anything at all. We let people infer, and we lie by the inference. Okay, all of us, every single one of us. All right, but listen to this. God has never lied. He's never lied, not one single time. He is absolutely, completely full of the truth. Jesus lived a complete human life, and there was never an occasion where he lied. He was full of the truth in everything he did and said. I find that pretty amazing. If there wasn't anything else majestic about God, the fact that he is absolutely, purely true and has never been false, that's overwhelming to me. I'm going to ask you to reconsider how much you trust Christ in light of his absolute truth. Why would you not trust one who would never lie to you? I've lied to myself. And how I get away with lying to myself, I have no idea. But I have lied to myself. I trust Christ to tell me the truth more than I trust myself with the truth, church. He is altogether true and trustworthy. If you're a Bible reader and you read John's gospel, you know that often when John is quoting Jesus Christ, he'll start the quote with, verily, verily, I say unto you. Bible readers, do you recognize that? Verily, verily, I say unto you. Some Bibles translate it, amen, amen, I say to you. All right. This word, amen, comes from the Hebrew verb, oddly enough, amen. And it means true. Amen means I speak the truth. Amen means this is firm. This is foundational. I pinky swear. all right. I read this week a quote I want to share with you. The point of the amen before Jesus' own sayings is to show that as such, they are reliable and true. When Jesus says, amen, amen, I say to you, he's trying to capture attention and say, the next thing I'm going to tell you is very important and it's absolutely true and reliable. When Christ speaks the truth, he's only speaking out of his character. All right. Now, I want you to think about truth in three ways. Stay with me. This is worth the effort of, stay with me. This is worth the effort of doing, putting that thinking into. All right. We need to think about truth in three ways. Number one, there is truth in essence. If I held up a gold coin and I held up a gold painted disc, you would look at them and say they're both gold. But one isn't essentially gold. It only appears. It's only the gold color, right? So the gold coin is true gold. The gold painted disc is not gold in its essence. So the first way we think about truth is this essentially true? Is this thing authentic? God is the only true God. What does that mean? He is the only God who is essentially God. Every other God is not essentially God. They're the gold-colored disc. They're not authentic. Listen what John said. This is eternal life, that you may know the only true God and Jesus Christ, whom he sent. Listen. This is eternal life. Coming to be able to know in your inner self the only authentic God and Jesus Christ, whom he has sent. Why is it so important that we think together about who God is? Because it's the essence of eternal life. Do you get it? This is eternal life, that you may know the one essential true God. The second thought about a truth is a truth in expression. And that's a little bit easier. The statement is either true or false. Right? It's either true or false. I think the Browns are going to win today. Is that true or is that false? all right. We all deal with true and false in expressions. All right. God is absolutely true in everything he says. I've already shared it with you. He never lies. He never says anything false. He's not only essentially true, he is true in all his expressions. Isaiah 45:19. Isaiah is speaking in for God. I did not speak in secret in a land of darkness. I did not say to the offspring of Jacob, seek me in vain. Listen. I, the Lord, speak the truth. I declare what is right. God is true in that he speaks the truth and he always declares what is right. There is a third way of thinking about truth, and that's truth in thought. And that is, some of my thoughts are true and some of my thoughts are error. Have you ever been sure, absolutely sure you were right and you were wrong? There's been times I was absolutely sure that my thought was right. I've actually said to Sharon, I'll bet you anything you want. Listen, we can honestly believe something is true and it be an error. We can honestly believe the thought is right and it's an error, church. All right, that never happens with God. Every thought of God is absolutely and always true. He is true in his essence. He is true in what he says, and he is true in his thoughts. Psalm 19:8, the precepts of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The command of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The rules of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, even much fine gold, sweeter also than the honey and the drippings of the honeycomb. Another poetic way of clustering the qualities of God, and those qualities include his absolute truth. All right. Now let's bring this all together so you can do something with this on Monday morning. Jesus Christ is the absolute truth. He is the true expression of God to humanity. If you want to know who God truly is, you look to Jesus Christ. He is the authentic representative of God. This is what Jesus said. I am the way, listen, the truth and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. If you had known me, you would have known my Father also. From now on, you do know him and you have seen him. All right. When you want to draw near to God, you concentrate on Christ. When you want to know what God is like, you read the Gospels. When you want to know what's important to God, you look at what's important to Christ. Christ is the representative of the only essentially authentic God. Everyone else who calls themselves God is a fraud. Church? Jesus Christ is the faithful and true witness. He's not only essentially true, he is a witness of the truth. Revelation 1, 4 and 5. Grace to you and peace from him who is, who was, and is to come. And from the seven spirits who are before his throne. Listen. And from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness. The prototype of life after death. The ruler of the kings of the earth. One of his titles is the faithful witness. Everything Jesus says is trustworthy. It's absolutely true. Jesus is the faithful and true representative of God. I understand what is absolutely true with God by what Jesus does. If you think you're a better judge of reality than Christ, you're mistaken. Christ shows us the truth in God's thinking. How do I know what God is thinking? I only know it through Jesus Christ. Revelation 19:11, and I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse. And the one sitting on it is called Faithful and True. The name of Jesus Christ is Faithful and True. All right. God, in his essence, is truth and trustworthy. My daily response to that should be unquestioning trust. If I really believe what the Bible says about God, and if I really see it in Christ Jesus, full of grace and truth, then my relationship to him grows to be an unquestioning trust. Now, I'm going to tell you how you know if you trust or don't trust. Trust means what I value most is safe with you. If you trust someone, what you value most is safe with that person. If you don't trust someone, what you value is not safe with them. You feel like it isn't safe with them. Church, in Christ, God has said to you, I am absolutely true and trustworthy. You can trust what you value most with me. Next week, you and I are going to be faced with dozens of decisions, and often we're going to have to decide who or what we trust. Often we're going to have to decide whether I trust myself or God more. Is what I value most more safe with me or more safe with God? You make that decision dozens of times every week, church. We have problems. We have challenges. Some of you are facing genuinely difficult things. When you look at that difficult thing, can you look up to the character of God? Can you look at the face of Jesus Christ and say, I trust you in this incredibly difficult thing. I trust you. Raising children, grandchildren, great-grandchildren, parents, we have to have holy moments where we say to God, I trust you with this child. I've prayed on many occasions, dear God, I believe that you love my child more than I do, and I'm asking you to do in their life what only you can do. You see, trust matters, church. I am in trouble with God if I have anything in my life that I cannot trust him with. Now, I want to talk to you about the hardest. Can you trust God with the worst things you know about yourself? We all know some pretty ugly stuff about ourselves. I mean, we polish up nice on the outside, but we all know some pretty ugly stuff about ourselves. Probably most of us know something about ourselves that we wouldn't even tell with the person we loved most in the world. We wouldn't want them to know that ugly thing is in our head. Church? But listen what the Bible says. Casting all your care upon him because he cares for you. You can say to God, this is an ugly thing about me, but I trust it with you. I trust it with you. I feel safe knowing that your truth is going to help me deal with this very broken part of myself. Church. And ultimately, this is important, because eternal life is based on, do you trust God or not? Church. This is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God. Church. The only trustworthy God. In the end, it's not can you balance the good and bad in your life. In the end, it's not do you do enough good stuff. In the end, it's not if you can win an approval contest. In the end, it all boils down to the most trustworthy being in the universe gave his life to save your soul. And can you trust your eternal soul with that God? Sarah told us in the devotions this week, online devotions, I don't know what we call those. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. You know why? Because he is the absolutely trustworthy God. Our dear Heavenly Father, thank you for revealing to us that you are trustworthy. Thank you for showing us your trustworthiness in Christ. Father, I pray that your Holy Spirit would work in our hearts right now and we would change our thinking about who you are. And we would see you as absolutely trustworthy. And we would trust you in your essence. We would trust you in what you say. And we would trust your knowledge that you share with us. And that trust would be evident in our daily lives. In Jesus' name, amen.